You always dreamed about owning your first house, or driving that special car, or opening that business. Unfortunately, you also had nightmares. Introducing the May Only My Good Dreams Come True policy from American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote. Find an agent. Visit AmFam.com.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Heyo, welcome to Monday Morning. Also welcome to this week's installment of the ROI of Why, your number one podcast that focuses on all things impact and purpose as it relates to business. And for the next 4 weeks, you get to consume micro episodes that are going to hit you with quick fire actionable strategy as it relates to storytelling in the social media space. Super stoked to do this. Joined by my partner in crime and co-host, Koobs.
How's it going?
Good, homie. How are you?
Doing well.
Good. And at the helm, as always, we got Dustin.
Hi.
There it is. And like I said, this week is going to be cool. We're kicking off the mini series that is storytelling within the social space. Koobs, set the stage for us. What are we doing today?
So last week we kind of talked about the hero's journey. So today we're going to just kind of rapid fire talk about value-driven content.
Tight.
And just building content that's purposeful and impactful to your business that builds the value point versus sell, sell, sell.
Yeah.
And I know this is a drum that you beat quite often. So hit us with a tactic that like our starting point that you think every company should be thinking about.
Yeah, for sure. So when you're approaching social media content, make sure you remember to make content that doesn't suck. Join us next week on the ROI. No, so far too often, I know I've been smacking this drum something fierce lately on the show, but far too often, so many organizations point to social media as the platform to just like smash prospective customers,
right,
repeat customers, current customers, all the things with just buy my stuff. And it does not work.
Yeah.
You may see some conversions, right? But it's going to be nowhere near as effective as it could or would be if there was like a connection there with your customer. And so when I say value-driven content, what I mean is you have to give away some of the secret sauce. And I know that sounds ass backwards to a lot of people, but hear me out. So here's an example. When I owned Evil Empire Creative, you know, our primary focus was web development and advertising. And so when we would approach value-add content, it could be something to the degree of writing a blog post that would, you know, walk a reader through how to update their footer.php file if they were using WordPress and Divi, which is a pretty common combination.
Yeah.
But that file at that time was kind of a pain in the ass to manage, right? So we built a blog post on the website that for nothing would walk you through
the
steps that you need to take to make it happen, right? And then we would use social media as a way to, you know, put that message out in the wild, and then the caption that's wrapped around that is basically explaining how this thing is pretty cumbersome to do, especially if you don't have much experience with WordPress or PHP, and here's your guide, and that's it, right? Then you Homer Simpson into the bush until we talk about engagement, and that person goes to the website, and they, one of two things happens. They either use that punch list to get it done, or they don't.
Right.
But in that scenario, in scenario one, they do it. There is gratitude or appreciation that happens, whether or not they recognize it or admit it. But essentially, it sets you up to be a thought leader, right? Or number two, if they don't do it, it's usually because, whoa, this is over my head. But
they can,
this looks smart. Let's reach out to this company.
Right.
So there's still the opportunity for conversion, you know, if the scenario is correct, if the variables are right. But the difference was it wasn't me going out saying, hey, that footer.php file is hard. Let me help you for the low cost of $200 an hour. right? So that's a great example, in my opinion, mm-hmm. is just a way to give away some of the secret sauce, but you don't want to give away too much to where they don't need you. And you just kind of drip that in front of your audience.
Yeah. And I think too, it's like that we talked about it last time, but really understanding the persona that you're connecting with as well. So that might speak really well to the office manager or whomever, but another person might not find that valuable. So I think making sure that we understand who we're trying to reach with those pieces, because mm-hmm. it'll also help us understand how they're coming into our funnel once they come to the website or whatever may be happening.
Yeah.
But then in today's world, I do some webinars for our nonprofit side of our business and talking to that vertical. And one of the things I kind of really lean in on quite a bit is making sure that people understand who they're talking to and like where they're at, and like making sure there's that connection point that you get them, because that's what's really important. And so if we're not personalizing the content that's out there or making, and personalization doesn't necessarily mean like I'm putting in the variable. So it's like, hey, Drew, here's the thing. But personalization is I've thought of Drew and his lifestyle and what he's going to want to see in his feed.
Yeah.
And so I'm intentionally putting it out content to the world.
Yeah.
That I know may not be for everybody, but it's for my number one target audience.
Right.
And that's who I care the most about. And then you can have your other content streams reach those other people, but you have to be okay that some people aren't going to connect to the content because it's not for them.
I don't think it's just be okay with it. I think we need to be ready to accept the fact that if you are trying to be all things to all people, your bandwidth is spread so thin, mm-hmm. are you even able to execute in a capacity that's conducive to repeat and referral business? And the answer is usually no. So the other piece that I'll throw at you is, you know, because when you talk about intent, mm-hmm. I love that. And the way I'm going to point back to Evil again, because this is one thing I'm really proud of how the team executed this, is we would approach storytelling that was motivated by value in an effort to humanize an ethos. And here's what I mean. So I don't know if it's because of our society's fascination or obsession with reality TV, but for some reason, we love to see what's happening behind the curtain.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also a huge believer, based on my experience, that anytime you have the opportunity to humanize something, it takes your prospective customer through this process where, you know, if they're sitting at your table, they're not a client yet. Typically, they've got their arms crossed, the walls are high, because they're used to that mm-hmm. sales experience that's just like the onslaught, right?
Right.
But if you can humanize it and make them feel comfortable before they even come in, make them feel like they know who you are,
mm-hmm.
that is reduced. And I've seen that happen firsthand.
Oh, yeah.
So what we would do is we basically shot like a run and gun ongoing documentary.
Oh, cool.
And we would release, you know, an episode. When I say episode, it's like 1 to 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
We would try to do two of them a month, but you know how it goes. That when you're in a space that is serving other clients, it's kind of like it's the cobbler story, right?
Goes away.
But I can tell you that was one of the like top three methodologies that we had that drove inbound leads.
That's cool.
Because you know the way Evil was set up was we were like a giant dysfunctional family that was also like a metal band almost. We were loud. We were edgy. We pushed the envelope. That's just kind of like a culture of misfits that were good at what they did, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the people here in Lincoln and Omaha, like really attacked. Like they liked it. They were interested mm-hmm. in it, and they liked to see what we were up to. And so when we would like release those videos, man, the inbound game was strong.
Yeah.
And we started being able to connect like spikes to it. Like video goes out, see this much traffic, this many leads, these many conversions. But at the same time, it was great because when somebody would come in, you know, when we were at a point in the business cycle, life cycle, where I wasn't fielding all of the inbound leads, one of our sales reps would grab that, schedule the session, and then I would come into the room and it's a video that I was in that they saw. They're like, oh, you're Andrew. I saw you in the video. It's like, they already feel like we're homies.
Right. I think it creates like this world of trust, right? Because before it's this brand or business or whatever. I know some people are adverse to being called a brand, but you're a brand.
Yeah.
So your brand is out there. But then when you humanize it, now it's like I get to look at you almost at the core of your heart or who you are. And then it's like, okay, I have this immediate trust factor. I feel like I know you, or I don't feel like you're hiding something as much. And I think that's a really important element and why humanizing works more times than not for entities that are out there. So
what about you? What kind of value-driven content examples have you seen that you can hit our listeners with?
One of the big things is, I think, just making sure that you are really careful about the messaging sequence that you're putting out there as you're building your value-driven your value-driven content. And it's just making I always like to have a plan, right, that you can fire off of, because then you make sure that you're also not saying the same thing. And so when you have that plan, I always like to tell people, specifically with social media, it is your job to entertain. Like, if we're going to jazz hands, this is the place you throw the jazz hands on. Yeah. It is, people want to see things that make them forget about reality, because, again, we're in social media scrolling through the faux perfect life cycle of people. And so regardless of your industry, if you're going to be putting something in Facebook, it needs to have its purpose there. And so your objective is to stimulate the viewer of your content enough to make them want to engage more. And so something that, like, I've really started to coach our team on and then to coach our clients on is, you should not be paying an organization to build you some bullshit like organic content strategy, because that, to me, and it's something I think use this terminology that I've totally hijacked, but it's like the subconscious and conscious experience in social media. And the subconscious is that drone standard, we need to be present, we need to have that frequency swipe where they see your brand, but man, I'm just not into it today,
just
right?
Thumbing,
But then where I tell my team, like, where I want people to employ agencies, and whether it's us or somebody else, the right way to do it is build me the content that's going to activate somebody, that's going to catch them in that feed. Because most companies, and most, even some of the big brands, they can't afford to invest in stimulating content every single time they post. That's like crazy. But you can specifically generate it and have it launch at a moment where you know they'll be receptive.
Yeah.
And so just using your analytics and data to be very careful about that messaging arc, and then and not investing that way in every piece of content, because that's just not realistic. Mm-hmm. But having your hero piece and then having your sub elements around it, because if you can generate their interest with that one piece, so like your documentary, then you had other elements that supported it, but you had your one hook.
Right.
And so, or the job, you know, you have that one thing. And that's the thing that I'm trying to get people to understand is, social media isn't having four posts in a week. That's dead. That's like a dead strategy. Yeah. But it's having something that's going to make an impact. Right. So I always say, if your team wouldn't share this, if you can't get your entire team to share this post, you failed.
Yeah. And I'm not trying to make this entire episode about evil, but I'm just pointing back to things that I've seen, you know, work. And that's that era of my career is where I did spend the most of my time focused on social media, right? In terms of like what I have available to me in a week, whatever. So we used to do this weekly thing as an as a crew. On Fridays, we'd get together for a couple hours. We call it Think and Drink. And what we do is we'd bring in...
sounds like I should have been invited.
You can come to the next one.
Awesome.
But no, we'd bring in some beers, and we'd just get together as a crew, and we talk about different projects, clients, you know, campaigns, companies that we're spinning social content for, and we would just come up with ideas to get people to stop thumbing through their feed. And then, like, the way in which we would, like, qual check it before it would get submitted or scheduled for release is basically two things. Every single person, designer, content creator, strategist, that was a part of a social effort had to look at the thing and say, okay, would this get me to stop scrolling? And also, why do I give a shit?
Right.
And if you can't answer both of those questions confidently in a way that is like, yep, that makes sense, that one's not shipping. So it worked for us. I'm not saying it's the secret sauce, right? It's just that's what worked
for us. It's a good barometer, though. Yeah. And I would say not every post has to get that thumb up. But I would say the things that you're going to invest in, absolutely.
Yeah.
But that subconscious content, sometimes that's like, here's a blog post, or let's pose a question, or just that... you have to, like, it's, you have to be present content. And those don't have to take a ton of time and resources or investment. But then having those key moments absolutely should hit on
straight
that.
Up. And then I think the piece that is so clutch to be mindful of is what we're going to talk about in next week's episode. And that's engagement.
Yes.
I think there's a lot of misconception, misunderstanding, and misinterpretation as to what does engagement in the social space look like. And so that's what I'm excited to rip through next week with you.
Cool.
So, you know, a little bit of a different format this week. We're doing these like shorter, digestible.
Mixing it up.
Yeah.
Keeping people on their toes.
Keep it fresh. We want to give you something quick, actionable, and off you go. So make sure that you guys take a look at your social strategy before you're putting anything out into the wild. Ask yourself, will this be something that has that impact? Also knowing that there's going to be moments where it's a subconscious play as well.
Mm-hmm.
But stop trying to sell every single time you post. I think that, at least for me, is the biggest takeaway today.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sums it up.
Done. Cool. Well, make sure that you guys subscribe so you are able to get that nice little notification reminding you that next week's episode about engagement is ready for your consumption. And until then, I'm Andrew.
And I'm Angie.
And we will catch you on the flip.
¿Cuándo decidiste que te gustaba desayunar sándwiches genéricos en bolsa de plástico apilados en un refri? ¿Sabes lo que a ti te gusta? El desayuno recién hecho. Sí. Y también te gusta el pollo crujiente. Combínalos y ¡pum! Te presentamos los sándwiches McChicken Biscuit y Chicken McGriddles de McDonald's. Tu nuevo amor mañanero. Pasa por unos hoy a la vuelta de la esquina y cambia tu vida a la hora del desayuno. En McDonald's participantes por tiempo limitado. ¡Levántate! ¡Hay desayuno!
Brought to you by nationalpolldata.org. The impeachment of President Trump has ended with his total acquittal, and now the 2020 campaign is heating up. Do you think President Trump should serve 4 more years? Go to TrumpVote65.com to cast your vote. According to Gallup, President Trump's approval rating is at its highest since he took office 3 years ago. 63% of all Americans approve of his handling of the economy, which is the highest economic approval rating for any president since the months directly following September 11th. However, the country is almost perfectly divided about the election and whether they'll vote for President Trump, regardless of the Democratic nominee. Where do you stand? Go to TrumpVote65.com to cast your vote if President Trump should serve 4 more years. The Democratic impeachment failed and is finally behind us. But should President Trump be reelected? Go to TrumpVote65.com and cast your vote. That's TrumpVote65.com. TrumpVote65.com.
At Jewelers Mutual, we're a little obsessed with jewelry. Obsessed like auctioneers with talking fast.
50, we're going to hit sold.
Pop stars with auto-tune.
Yeah.
And dentists with asking questions.
So, how did he propose?
After they've put their hands in your mouth.
What? Great.
Yes, we've made jewelry our obsession for over 100 years. We love it so much we named our kids Ruby, Amber, and Opal.
Venti soy latte for Opal?
At Jewelers Mutual, we insure jewelry and only jewelry. Which is why people who are also obsessed with jewelry trust us with theirs.